All right, it is time to begin. I want to thank the elders for arranging this. I want to thank you for your interest in the topic. And I want to support and help empower loving parents in raising stable, joyous, God-fearing, faithful children. I want to amen a lot of things that was just said, and particularly at the end there, some of the very best parents grew up with some really, really bad circumstances in their homes. And a lot of people who grew up in some of the best circumstances fail to repeat that. They take it for granted and they throw it away. So whatever you grew up with, don't let it hold you back. And in any good family, you don't have to go back very many generations to find the mess. My own great-grandfather, his miserable life was finished off when somebody finished him off with a 12-gauge shotgun, and he pretty much deserved it. It's what we choose to do with our children, and that's what's important. So I'm going to share real quick a story along the line, kind of amening what was just said by Dixon about not letting the children run the home. This subject is about authority and teaching children to respect authority, God's authority in the home. And we undermine that if we are not playing our roles. The father is to be the head of the household, Ephesians chapter 5. The mother and father are to be obeyed by the children, and all of them are to be under the authority of God. And there was a story, so I do this series, I've done it for years, and one time in Birmingham, somebody related this story to me. I thought, that's a pretty funny story, it makes a good point, I'm going to start using it. But I thought it was probably a funny preacher story, not real. But I thought it might be real, so I always just qualified. This might not have really happened. And I told it until I got to Manchester, Tennessee, and Sarah Bain Bunning was in the audience. And afterwards she said, no, it's a real story. Bob saw it, her husband Bob Bunting, and she gave me more of the details. It happened like over 60 years ago down in Florida. He's down there preaching, he's staying with his family. Plenty of money, they've had interior decorators put all these expensive drapes and everything, but they're not hanging on the windows because they've all been pulled down by the little tyrant of the house that ran the house. One morning, the little tyrant is in the high chair, I think it was a girl, and the parent has cooked some breakfast, and they bring it to the child. And the child's, oh, am I supposed to have this on? Or am I good? I'll stay here. And they bring the breakfast, and it's like, I don't want it. And the parent, the adult, said, what do you want? I want a worm. The adult went outside and dug and found a worm. They brought it in. I want it cooked. They put the worm in the skillet, and they cooked it. I want it cut in half, and you eat half of it. The adult ate their half of the worm. At this point, do you think the child was joyous and stable and happy? No. And they reverted back where they were before. They didn't want it. That was a miserable little child being mistreated by the parents that were spoiling it. Because God didn't put children in charge of the home. He put adults in charge of the home to give the children what they need, not to put the children in charge of the home. But so many parents, what they think, well, we need to have plenty of money so we can have a big, nice house, and every kid has their own room, and maybe every kid has their own bathroom. They need to have the nicest toys and all the electronics, and we have to find a really good pediatrician that everybody likes who will be our expert on everything, not just the earache, but when our child's lying, he can say, oh, don't worry about it. That's typical for this age. When they're sneaking around, oh, don't worry about it. That's typical for this age. When they're being rebellious, oh, perfectly normal, typical for this age, so that we will have a perfectly normal, typical, sinful, ungodly adult. And we want to find the best school system so that they're not with the bad kids. And we turn our children over to that school system that undermines God's word and undermines masculine role models and undermines maternal role models. But before that, we've had to find a daycare that has lots of pretty colors. And so we just put the children there in a play date where they can do something, and we show them off as our accessory, and a sports program where they can do that. And Mama Bear is pretty much out of the scene. She's busy making her money and everything else, and except at the play date and the game. Mama Bear only comes out when the child is misbehaved on the sports team and got benched, and she tries to get the coach fired. Or the cub has misbehaved at school, and the teacher's been honest about it, and they want to get the teacher fired. Otherwise, Mama Bear is absent from the scene except when the child is wrong and they're defending them. And then maybe they'll find a church that's got a really good youth ministry and a nice band, and you just, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get absolute disaster. That child has not learned to respect God or their parents or other people, and you're going to raise a selfish, self-indulgent child, which too often now grows up not to be a man, but a man-child, if it's a boy. And that's not the way to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I've got Elijah here as my, he knows from IBC that I need timers, so he's going to give me my 15, 10, 5, and 2. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a chapter in the Bible that is the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That, brethren, is a vertical relationship. God is above us. We are down here. He deserves our love. And love means, as Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have to respect God's authority. God knows better than us. We're supposed to know better than our children, and God knows better than us. Jesus said this is the greatest of all the commandments. He said the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. That is a horizontal relationship. Because selfishness, and this is what we're going to be talking about here, respect for authority is the opposite of selfishness. Selfishness wants us to ignore authority that's over us, put ourselves in authority, and that will be destructive to us and to those around us. And if we raise our children that way, they would be destructive to themselves and to others around them. Love God, love neighbor as yourself. But after saying love God, it says this, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. It doesn't say you shall bring them to Bible class Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Please do bring your children to Bible class. But that's not what this text says. You teach them diligently. I don't know if anybody, probably somebody here works in the medical community. If I bring my child in to the emergency room and they are dying of starvation, and you look at this emaciated child and you say, what has happened? Quick, get some IVs. What's happened with this child? And I say, I don't know. I gave him a snack every Sunday morning and one Wednesday night, every week. Well, you know what happened? Yet that's what spiritually is happening to a lot of children. This says, you teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Look with me also, please, at Ephesians chapter 6. There's 2 points we want from this text. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. honor your father and mother. This is two connected things, but also two different things. A child can obey, but not honor. Take out the trash. Why do I always have to do it? And takes it out. They might have obeyed. They absolutely did not honor. Parents, it's your job to train your child to do this. You're not being selfish. Sometimes you might think, I told my child to do this, and they didn't want to do it, and now I've got a discipline problem. I wish I hadn't have told them to do that. Maybe they don't have to do it. I feel selfish now. No, that's your job. If you told them to obey, teach them to obey. It's not your job to argue with your children. Don't get in a debate club with your children. Mom, we're going to go play ball in the street. No, you're not. No, it's dangerous out there. It'll be fine. We won't get hurt. You might get hit by a car. We would hear the car if it's coming. You might not hear it. Well, we would see it. It might be coming the other way. Well, I'm pitching and he's catching. One of us will see it. Don't get in a debate. Be the parent. Make them obey. It's better for them. They will be happier. In Proverbs, it says, a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Children need boundaries. They need love, they need care, they need attention, but they need boundaries. And what you're preparing them for, when they learn to respect your authority as parent, that prepares them to serve a parent much more important than you or I. But if we train them to argue and excuse to us, guess what they'll do before God? I don't know what King Saul was like when he was a kid, but I know what he was like when he was an adult. I obeyed. What's all this? I obeyed. Teach your children to obey. Let's talk about selfishness here. An infant doesn't have the capacity to be concerned about anyone else but themselves. They are supposed to be what they are. An infant can't change the oil, can't mow the grass, can't help with the groceries. They're not capable of that. They are utterly dependent on you, and it's beautiful. That little human being, we have friends that just had a baby, and so they've experienced this in the last 24 hours. And you get to meet that little person, and they are utterly incapable of trying to help anybody else. Without knowing it, they're warming our hearts wonderfully. But they need everything from us, and we can't count on them to fulfill any responsibility because they're a little bitty, bitty infant. And of course, we put a diaper on them. But we're supposed to grow out of that. I know a guy, fireman down in Baltimore, and he told me about one day he kind of got in trouble from this man is coming down the street, 40-year-old man, walking down the street in nothing but a diaper. 40-year-old man walks up, and he's basically looking for trouble. My friend is fireman. Apparently something on his face registered the fact that a 40-year-old man shouldn't be walking around the street with nothing on but a diaper. This is not a medical case at all. So now, of course, he's the victim, and he demands to see the fire captain. Because I've been smirked at, and so they have to bring out the fire captain. And your fireman, he smirked at me. He said, I don't know how to use indoor plumbing. But he knows how to go around and make a spectacle of himself and demand apologies and catering to his ridiculous reality, okay? It's cute on an infant. It's anything but cute there. We're supposed to grow out of incapacity of doing anything for others. And we see this in our children. It's beautiful. You may see that stage when they're little and it's their birthday. They're like so excited, but it's somebody else's birthday and they're a little jealous because it's not all about them. Take the time, train them, get them out of that, and then you see a few months later, you see what? It's somebody's birthday and they're so excited for them. And they're happy, and they've helped pick the present, and they've helped wrap it, and they're looking forward to seeing that and seeing the smile on that. What are they learning? They're learning it's not all about taking, it's about giving. But this involves learning something about authority. So, authority, one of the first things that they have to learn is the meaning of the word no. It's one of the first things Adam and Eve had to learn. Adam and Eve were not looking like infants. I think they look like adults. But how long had they been around? They're brand new. And what did God give them? He gave them a no-no. Right there in the garden. You can do all of these trees, but this one right here, thou shalt not. There's a no-no right there in the middle of the garden. And one of the first words a little child learns is the word no. And we'll talk more about this in the 0 to 5 class for those of you that are in there. But just real quick, here's a good measure. Think about your children, especially your little ones, and think about what does no mean to my child? If your child thinks no means it's time to throw a tantrum, you're not doing it right. Your child may throw once or twice a tantrum and find out that that's not the thing to do, and they will give up that business. But if they throw a tantrum and we cave into their authority of throwing the tantrum, we have just guaranteed they will throw another one and 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 another one. If they think no means the defense attorney may now cross-examine, you're not doing it right. If they think no means don't do it when mom and dad are looking, you're not doing it right. If you're 1-year-old or you're 2-year-old, when they're at grandma's and they start to pick something up they're not supposed to, and you say, honey, no, no, and they stop and they pull back and they go play with something else, you're way ahead of the game. You know what they've already learned? They have learned respect for authority. They don't understand the word authority and they don't understand respect, but they've learned it. They've learned when mom says no, it means no. They've learned respect for authority. They've learned I won't always get my way. And they might as well learn it because you don't. Those moms that act like their little boy should always get his way, and then after trying to get this person fired and that person fired and everything else, and then she goes with him to the job application, and then when he gets fired 3 weeks later, she goes in to talk to the boss to demand he gets rehired. He's not getting rehired. He's not always going to get his way, so don't teach him that he is. And he's learned self-control. And he's learned that behavior is more important than desire. Now, once this child has learned that by age 1 and 2, they have learned principles that will help them throughout life. Because let's fast forward to the teenage years. 2 children go to a party. Somebody at that party introduces drugs or alcohol or sexual temptation, and the child that has never learned to respect authority, never learned self-control, never learned they shouldn't always get their way, and never learned that behavior is more important than desire, they're going to make some really bad choices. Whereas the child that learned from early on to respect authority, and you don't always do whatever you immediately want to do, that child is going to make much better decisions than the other one. This is for the good of the child. You might have a goldfish. If you want to have a goldfish, you don't need to learn a lot. He needs water. You need to feed him. You need to have a filter. Don't put it in the garage where it, you know, turns to solid ice. It's not healthy for the goldfish. Every once in a while, clean the aquarium. We're not raising goldfish. We're raising human beings created in the image of God with moral responsibilities. We're not raising birds or cats. A robin, after about 5 or 6 weeks, doesn't need its parents anymore. I don't know what the youngest child is in here, but if there's a baby in here and it's over than 5 and 6 weeks, why is it with its parents? Because it's not a robin. A kitten doesn't need its parents after just a couple of months. But I've seen some cats, I think, that were better mothers than some adult mothers. We had a mama cat, ferocious mama cat, showed up on the porch. It was a stray. And one night, Bertina saw it start, it was wanting our attention. And she said, I think it's going to have kittens. I put a box out there. The next day, there were kittens in there. I tell you what, that cat cared about those kittens. I watched her one day. She caught a mouse and brought it to the kittens. Didn't kill it. She's teaching them how to do it. And she comes and drops a live mouse down in front of that kittens to teach them how to catch mice and stuff. And when I gave away one of the kittens, that mama cat's heart was so broken. But they only have a few weeks with their children. Why did God give us years and years and years and years and years with our children? Because that's how much training they need. And we need to be using that time to get out of that selfishness. Luke 9:23. What did Jesus say we have to do if we're going to follow him? Please turn to Luke chapter 9. If anyone, this is verse 23. This is one of the more significant statements of Jesus. I mean, the Word of God is significant all across the board, but this one is really fundamental. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Selfishness, because you know what God, let me ask you a question here real quick. Elijah, how many minutes do I have? Five? You love your children. For those of you, how many of you have more than one child? You love your children. Do you want your children to do well? Do you love your children? Do you want them to do well at the expense of your other children? By lying, cheating, and doing violence to, or other ways manipulating your other children for their selfish gain? No, you don't. God loves his children, and he wants good for us, but not that we get ahead by mistreating other people. So his rules are what? Love God, our Father, and love your neighbor as yourself. Where does that put me? Where does that put self? Way down here and on the same plane with other people. You know what we do when we get into sin? We inflate self. David, look at the humility and the care for even his father's sheep that he showed. And his respect for King Saul's life, even though King Saul is trying to kill him. But once he gets on the throne and gets treated as king for a while, what do we see him do? He starts viewing Uriah as nothing and God's commands as nothing, and he gets bloated like a giant Macy's Day Parade, and Nathan has to pop his bubble. And I don't know if you've ever seen the video of the time in the Macy's Day Parade, the big Barney dinosaur caught the street lamp and it became deflated and everything. That's what needs to happen when we get like that. God doesn't view us as more important than him and more important than other people. we need for ourselves and for our children to teach us our place in the universe and respect the authority of God. And that includes the authority of the father over the home, the authority of mom and dad, the place of the children, and for them to grow up and teach the same thing to their children. There are not many cases of that being done successfully in the Bible, sadly. Eli's sons are horrible. Samuel's sons are not good. David's son, one of his sons, it says that he had never asked him. This is the son that when David is dying and the kingdom is supposed to go to Solomon, this son says, oh, this is my chance. And while his dad is dying, he tries to take the kingdom. And the text says that David had never at any time asked him, why are you doing this? Eli at least did that. You remember? He said to his children, why are you doing this? And that wasn't enough. David didn't even ask, why are you doing this? That's not helping children. In the case of Eunice and Lois and Timothy, in the case of Philip and his daughters, and that's what we want. We want to serve God, and we want to train our children to, but that involves respecting God and his authority. And that involves showing them where we stand before God. God's commandments, Deuteronomy says, are for our good always. I want to make two last points here. What do I got? 2-3 minutes? Think about the paradoxes of Jesus. Over and over and over. Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. The first will be last. If you seek your life, you will lose it. Humble yourself, you'll be exalted. The last shall be first. Children that are exalted and taught to do whatever they want to be and not submit to authority, that is not the way to produce joyous, happy, stable, God-fearing children. Do it God's ways. The last thing, and I'll just mention this real quick. If you'd like to see a description of it, go to Enlight Media. And there's an interview with me and Andy. And if somebody wants to ask me about this later, this is not a thing that you have to do in your family by any means. There's not a Bible verse that says it. But I use some Bible principles. And in my family, we called it the improvement game. And I based it on Revelation 2 and 3. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus talked to some churches, and he said, here's what you're doing good. And in most cases, here's where you need to improve. And one thing, I think it was very good for my kids, but I know it was good for me. Because I was far from the perfect husband or father. We would get in a circle, and what this showed my children was that we're all under God's authority. I apologized to my children when I was wrong. Bertina apologized to our children when she was wrong. And we would go around in a circle, and we would discuss each person, what they've been doing good on, and one thing, a challenge to improve on. And we included the parents in it too. And some people might think, oh, I don't want to undermine authority as a father. It didn't. It exalted God as the father. Because when I was blowing it, it wouldn't have fooled my children for me not to admit it. And so if I had three of the kids say, and what could Dad improve on? Well, he's been kind of grouchy lately. You know, if three of them say that, then guess what? And you know, and it felt good next time we played if none of them said that. Well, you can read the details on it if you want to look at that interview. And like I said, that's just one way of doing that. But whatever way you do it, make sure that in the home, yes, the father's head of the home, but he's not above God. We're all above God, and we're going to be wrong sometimes. And when we are, we need to show our children what men of God do when we're wrong, and that's admit it and apologize, and what women of God do when we're wrong, because more important than parental authority is the authority of God. Thank you very much.